Hello and welcome to the Indie Film Review. We're back.
With a vengeance.
Right. You thought you got rid of us, but we're here again to bring you movies. I mean, that's all really I have to offer. With me, as always, is Dan. Hello, Dan.
I am here, and I can't tell you how great it is to be here, guys.
Yeah, it is an honor to work
with you. We have amassed quite a few plays, like listens, you might say, for podcasting lingo. We have a strong audience, but I want to let everybody know that there are 90 plays from the beautiful countryside of Sweden, and we want to keep that up. So if you are Swedish listeners, please, thank you. Thank you, first of all, and please, please, please just... spread the word. We want to be the number one podcast in Sweden, for sure.
Oh, I'd love to be the number one Swedish podcast. Also, the UK. We get a lot of people in the UK, and a good chunk from New Zealand that we're definitely crediting to our Necropodicon friends,
but,
which we really appreciate.
But Necropodicon aside, you guys are beautiful and sexy. We want to let you know that.
You are beautiful, but no matter
Sweden,
what they say.
Sweden is an untapped market for podcasting.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's right. That's right. I'm actually going to ask about purchasing Sweden. there's
I mean,
a joke that will not be relevant in a while. But there it is. Okay. I'm Jared, by the way. Thank you for asking, audience. Kind of rude of you to not even wonder who I am. Wow. Jeez, people these days. So we review independent films. Who would have thought? And today we selected, Dan selected, Slow West.
Yes, I have had Slow West in my queue for a while, and then some Redditor that I don't know the name of because it just disappeared from our email. So if you are the one that selected Slow West for us, please let us know on Reddit or whatever, and we'll credit you. But somebody else suggested this, so I'm like, why not just do that now? So we watched Slow West.
Also, a quick correction. Because we were doing the short films episodes. I think, I don't know, we might have, sometimes we mess up names and stuff, so just let us know if we do that. But we had Black Cat Film Productions. We had said, what was it, Stephanie Davis?
No,
I think,
yeah, Stephanie
Davis. Which was
a
hot mess in a wedding dress. And we meant to say Sarah Stevenson.
Yes, she is the one who's the founder of Black Cat Film Productions. And they're doing excellent work over there, so just show them love.
Yeah, so we're sorry. Sorry, Sarah, we messed up. But yeah, if we mess up names or anything like that, we're only people. We're awesome and, like, incredible people. Like, we're pretty amazing. But we are still just people. So, yeah, let us know, and we'll try to fix it with our words, because that's what we do.
That being said, we're diving right into Slow West.
Hey, it's going to be a very quick West for us. We're going to just speed right through. No,
you're stealing my joke. You're stealing my joke because, Jared, first impressions, I wish this was called medium-paced West.
Oh,
you know, to get me through the movie a little bit faster because this was indeed slow.
West. Really? You found it to be slow?
There was something, and I want to talk about this with you a little bit. Like, both you and I love Westerns, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
I want to know what sets apart modern Westerns from older Westerns. Because I watched The Hateful Eight. That didn't, like, I didn't think it was, it didn't have the same magic that old Westerns did for me. And there's something about older Westerns that are just magical. And Slow West didn't pull it off for me, unfortunately, either. Neither did The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. Like, there's just something missing from each one of them. And I think it has to do with exposition and how you build a story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's more characters in older Westerns. You know what I mean? This one, I only had two characters, so it was very intimate. And I just...
Yes.
I couldn't... It wasn't exciting to me.
Older Westerns... are slower and longer.
Well, no, older Westerns, like, okay, so The Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
They're more of like an epic.
Yeah, well, I guess that's what I'm talking, like, whenever I go to a Western, that's what I want. I want character development.
Me too.
You had character development in this one, but I want multiple characters. I want multiple story arcs. I think, longer films, you were able to do that. This was only like an hour and 20 minutes. So I just found myself getting bored.
Really?
With this film.
Like, Once Upon a Time in the West, the first 30 minutes of that movie, if I remember correctly, are a bunch of dudes waiting for a train.
Yeah.
So they can kill someone.
Yeah.
There's almost no dialogue. Like, almost no character exposition. It's just all atmosphere and being a badass. And he shows up, tells them they didn't bring enough horses or something, or they brought too many horses, and he shoots them all. It was fucking rad. It was fantastic.
No. Don't get me wrong. Slow West did a lot of really cool meditative shots correctly, and the film looked beautiful. Like, one of my favorite scenes is where he's riding his horse through all that ash.
Yeah.
That was fucking amazing.
Yeah. Well, I actually like this movie a lot. I didn't think it was boring at all. I actually wish, this is going to sound insane, but it is also to the point of what you're saying, is I wish this movie was longer.
You know, not yeah, exactly.
I ever say that about a film.
Well, and
I wish this movie was longer.
They could have delved more into the girlfriend character. They could have delved more into the ex-gang of outlaws that Michael Fassbender used to be part of. And I feel like if they had, if director John McClane, I think his name is, if that was the direction it went in, it would have been an amazing epic Western for sure, because the story was there.
Yeah. Also, this is the first big movie of McClane. It looks like he's done a couple short films and he's worked on a lot of other projects, but for a first film, this is fucking fantastic. This is out of control good.
I'm so excited to watch him.
Michael Fassbender in it.
And it also has Ben Mendelsohn in it, which is pretty
cool. Yeah, how did he get these people?
Ben Mendelsohn, he's just available for everything. You know what I mean?
Wow. So disrespectful.
I love seeing him in films.
But Magneto's in this, and he didn't use his powers one time, which I thought was weird. He's just like, I'm going to pretend to be a human.
See, I don't know him as Magneto. I know him as the fucking cyborg from the newer Alien movies.
Oh yeah, you're right. Where he like tries to make out with himself or something. I forget what.
Yes.
Like, tries to play the skin flute.
Absolutely.
But yes, I like this movie immensely. It is such an easy watch that when the movie ended, I was like, holy shit, the movie's over? Okay. I was kind of just like, oh, I wish there was more. And to have that as your only complaint about the film is really good, I think. Honestly.
Well, you kind of framed it for me in that way. Absolutely. That would be my only complaint. It just should be longer. There should be more elements to it. Because what Westerns do, it's in the vein of old Japanese samurai films. Like they have an ensemble cast, and you get to know every single character through the course of like a 3-hour film. Now, to me, like The Hateful Eight didn't necessarily do that either. I'll say I like this film a lot better than Hateful Eight.
Okay.
Because there was a lot of dialogue in The Hateful Eight, and it just didn't delve. It was very shallow of characters. Like we actually got to see a lot of deep character development. It was just only in two people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Michael Fassbender and Cody Smith McPhee.
So I liked the theme and themes of this movie a lot. Of like this, because the character, it's about this young boy who is traveling west after he has...
Oh yeah, the elevator pitch.
Yes.
Whoops.
After he has done something terrible to a family of a woman he loves. Like, he loves this woman, but, like, he has inadvertently, through his love, set up a course of events that are just going to have everyone is going to be in peril.
Basically,
and people are going to die because of these decisions that he's made.
Well, it all stems from an accident.
Yes. But where does that stem from? His...
His undying...
His love of this girl.
Yeah.
His unrequited love of this girl.
Yeah.
And I fucking love that. And it's just like, if he would just stop doing what he's doing at any moment, he could have saved so many lives, you know? And it's the whole movie is about when you love someone and they don't love you back, and you should just move on. And yeah. I fucking love that, instead of just keep pursuing it. Because, like, eventually, they're going to shoot you.
Should we, like, say we're getting into the film
yes,
proper?
Yes, this is going to be spoilers now. So, if you want to see this movie, Slow West.
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. It is fantastic. If you have any interest in Westerns at all, I think you should see this movie. It is really good. Like, really good. Okay? Emphasis on the good. So, okay, go
so,
ahead.
So, did you say that the Drifter picks him up? Or offers to escort him?
No, I haven't talked about any
so,
of that yet.
So, basically, in the movie, he flees to America to try to find this woman that he is now in trouble. And he's just trying to get to her and be with her. And in order to get there, he has to go west. And he's eventually picked up by some drifter who offers to take him there because going west is not safe. So there's a scene where they're both trotting along and they come across this group. I'm going to say Haitian immigrants, maybe, or French immigrants, but I'm assuming it's Haitian. And they're singing this amazing song.
Yeah.
And he stops and listens to them. And then they speak in French to each other for a bit. And then he says, "Love is universal like death." And that is the theme of the entire movie.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And that... It comes up so many times in this film, which is really cool.
They really paint a picture of the West as like anybody can die at any moment. And I'm just, I'm kind of wondering, how does anyone live to be like age 30 in the West? It's fucking crazy because everybody is dying all the time. And I love how in this film that you have this young, naive kid who is from a rich, noble family
trying to find this woman. Scotland.
Yeah. Trying to find this woman who doesn't even love him, but that he is in love with. And every person he meets is trying to trick him or betray him. And he is so oblivious to all of it. Like that one guy he meets.
Werner.
That has a little, that little caravan. And he's like telling about like, oh, I'm going to write. I'm a writer. I'm doing all these things. And he's like, in the morning, I'm going to like... you know, make you eggs and everything, and we'll travel together. And he fucking leaves him in the desert. And I'm like,
he steals all of his clothes too.
Yeah,
and I fucking saw that coming.
Yeah.
Like whenever you see the caravan full of shit, you're like, oh my god, he's been stealing from people left and right all fucking
yeah.
Maybe, but at least he didn't kill him. And then the guy who owns the caravan leaves him an egg in the morning because he said he would make eggs, and then a folded up piece of paper that says West with an arrow pointing. And you just don't know where it is.
Yeah. That's pretty great. God, it's really messed up. But this whole time we got, what's his face? Fassbender. Fassbending all over the place.
Oh, he's fassbending so hard.
He's trying to get a contract because he's been hired. Well, he hasn't been hired, whatever. There's a bounty.
There's a bounty on Rose and her dad.
Yes, and he wants to collect that bounty, and he knows that this kid knows where this lady is. So he's like, hey, I'll help you get to your destination without telling him I'm actually hunting for the bounty. And then along the way, he starts to realize, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this. Maybe they're good people. Like, maybe I should find more to life than just hunting bounties or whatever. Because he used to be in that gang.
Mm-hmm.
And he was living a rough and tumble life and just like being an outlaw or whatever and a bounty hunter. And that now he's broken off and he's trying to like transition to being a regular person, but he's having trouble with it. And through his traveling with this younger kid, he's starting to realize that there's more to life than just collecting bounties or whatever. And I love how the kid is basically setting up Fassbender's character to like take his shoes. Like he is literally delivering this woman like a Fassbender. You're like, here, do you want a Fassbender to marry and take care of you? Here you go. It's so ridiculous. And by the end of this film, the main character, Jay, has he gets shot and has literal salt put in his wounds. I mean, I don't know how much clearer I can be that, like, he's going to get punished. This is going to be Punished Jay by the end of the movie. It's so sad what happens to this guy.
What is telling about this, like, the character arc for Jay is fantastic. You can trace it from the very beginning, where he's like a lone person trying to make it through the West. Very this voyage is ill-conceived. Like, he's taking way too much on his horse. He's burdening his horse down, everything like that. But there's a scene in the middle, or not in the middle of the film, kind of like, well, maybe it is in the middle of the film, but they go into like a little shop they find in the middle of nowhere, and the shop gets robbed while they're in it. He's trying on clothes, and the shop owner kills the husband and then leaves the mother alive, and the mother has a gun. And she kills the shop owner, and she points the gun at Michael Fassbender, and eventually the kid shoots the lady to get Michael Fassbender free. And on their way out, they see that the husband and wife had kids. Yeah. And that just completely destroys Jay as a character. Because then he starts telling Werner about it. He's like, I killed somebody today. I didn't know they had kids. And he just feels horrible about it.
Yeah.
And, like, that kind of haunts him through the rest of the movie.
What I love about that, too, is Fassbender is telling the woman to breathe and relax, but he's really telling the kid to breathe and relax. Yeah. So he can get his gun out and shoot this fucking lady. And I loved that, where he's like simultaneously talking to both of them. And I don't know if Jay actually has a character arc. Maybe at the very end he realizes what he's done is wrong, or I don't know, but like...
What do you mean?
He is on a doomed odyssey, and I don't think his mindset changes, because he's like, if she doesn't love me back.
His mindset doesn't change, but his realization of the world around him changes. Mm-hmm. So that's
what
I like. But
he knows he's hurting people, but he's still doing it. There's even a point where Fassbender tells him, "Okay, listen, I'm hunting a bounty on your girlfriend. I've kind of given up on that. I want to help her now, but." Those people that have been following us are my old gang, and they want the bounty too. And if we go to her, all these bad guys are going to go and find her. And it's like, do you really want that to happen? And he's like, I'm going to go anyways. He's like, I'm just going to go. Like, he tries to stop him. He's like, nope, I'm going to do it anyways. And you could say that preacher guy would have found the bounty eventually anyways, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, would their chances have been better?
Not really. You know? No.
3-on-1? Because when you look at the climax of the film, they're fighting, like, I don't know, 6 or 8 on like, 2. Mm-hmm. And they win. So, I mean, I don't know. I guess she's clearly, like, good with a gun and stuff. So, I don't know. I like that preacher sniper guy, too, by the way.
Yeah, the first.
It felt kind of anime to me to have, like, this just random dude who's like, I got a sniper rifle, and I'm like, I'm in a preacher's outfit. It made me think of Trigun. But I love the gang. I love when the gang leader
shows up.
Yeah, with the absinthe, and they all get drunk together. Oh, God, there's so many good scenes.
What bothered me about that scene, so everybody's getting drunk, and the kid, Fassbender, he's, like, doing pistol tricks. And the kid is trying to do it too. And the kid drops his pistol and then picks the pistol up, points it at his face, and starts cleaning out the barrel of the gun.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Fassbender's like, are you doing? Clean it out. Clean out the gun. What was weird too is when they went to sleep, there's like ants. They had a really cool shot of like ants crawling out of the gun. And I'm like, that is really neat.
Mm.
It just looked cool visually.
There was another cool shot. Was it the kid when at the end where he drops a boot on the ground and the boot's in the foreground of the camera and the kid's running away?
I don't remember.
I like that shot a lot too. And then Ben Mendelsohn has a face tattoo, and I wrote it down. I don't know what it means, but it says G or G-E-E, G Saint Pete.
Oh, interesting.
Is that?
I don't know.
I don't. Is that his name?
No idea. No, his name is Payne in this movie. He's the gang leader. Payne. I liked how Payne didn't seem drunk during the drunk scene. I'm wondering if, like, he intentionally didn't drink a lot, or...
Mm.
I don't know. It was interesting to me. Why don't we just name some other interesting scenes?
My second favorite
scene. I mean,
because
the visuals in this movie.
Yeah, well, like I said, my first favorite scene is whenever he's going through all that ash, and his horse gets covered with ash, and he gets covered with ash. My second favorite scene is the day after they wake up from drinking absinthe, and
flooded?
No, before the flood. He's like,
oh, okay.
Hey, that tree's moving. And the guy's like, oh, it's called a hangover, kid. And then he gets shot with an arrow. Like, he catches
it before
it hits his face. That scene was fucking rad.
But wait, let me set it up. So, before they get flooded, after they're drunk, right? And all their shit gets wet.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay.
And then they're like, fuck, all of our shit is wet. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? So the kid thinks of doing a clothesline between the two of them connected by their horses. So now there's this amazing visual of them walking, you know, down a path with the clothesline. He's like, ah, you're pretty clever, kid.
And they're in
their
underwear.
Clothes are drying. Yes. So then once they get to the woods, they get attacked by the Indians.
Yes.
And the Indians try to steal their horses. And when they both jump on the horses to ride away, the rope is still attached. And it wraps around a tree. It throws both the Indians off. And they're just sitting there dumbfounded watching this. They're like, what the fuck? It was so funny. And then as soon as that happens, the Indians are like, oh, shit. And they all run away. I just loved it.
But yeah, and so...
trying to steal the horses.
Exactly.
Oh, God damn it. It was
But there, it, the special effects of the arrow going through the hand is pretty awesome. Then another really weird scene, and then I'll let you pick some weird scenes to talk about. Maybe you have this one. They happen across a tree accident.
Mm-hmm.
In the woods, where like there's an
accident,
a traxident,
tradaccident.
They find a tree that has been chopped down, but it fell on, I guess, a little kid, and the little kid died, and he's underneath the tree with an axe.
I don't know if it was a little kid.
Well, it was somebody. I don't know. And like, there's just
because what little kid's out there chopping down a big ass
tree?
Hey,
you know, dad has to drink at night, so kid.
That's
right.
Has
to do all the, they got to do all the work.
Papa, I will cut the biggest tree
down.
Shut
up and cut that tree down. Bring me back the firewood. And you
if I cut this tree down, will you love me, Papa?
We'll talk in the morning.
Well, hey, you know what? How about in the morning? I'm going to change my ways. Everything's going to be different, son. You're going to like the way you look. Oh, boy.
Yeah, you chop that tree down first, though.
You're dead. One thing I'll say, I don't remember the music in this movie at all. Do you?
I mean,
that's not a bad thing.
I do. The music was actually, it was serviceable, but it's not like, you know,
it's not
focus. Whenever you watch a Western, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get that cool kind of electric guitar sound. You're going to get the violins. You're going to get harmonica shit. It wasn't as alluring as it could have been, but I did like the music of this film.
It doesn't overshadow anything else. It's just kind of there. So you can really appreciate
the
visuals of this movie.
I will say what bothered me about the music is it became so, not predictable, but like they kept using the same music per, like they would flashback and all the flashbacks would have the same music.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't necessarily change.
Yeah, like I said, I can't even remember the music. It was just so muted to the movie, which I thought, like I said, was a good thing.
Right.
Because, so like, there's a saturation with the colors where everything just seems almost like you're on another world. I don't know what it was. It looked fantastical because, like we were saying before, how older Westerns are a lot longer or whatever. This movie felt like an odyssey.
Mm.
So it felt like it should be like this crazy long thing.
The visuals...
Which is not necessarily bad that it's the length that it is. I don't think it's a bad thing that I wanted to see more of the movie.
Yeah, visuals culminate, though, in a shootout, right?
The shootout is fucking great.
But the place of the shootout is amazing. So there's this little cabin in the middle of nowhere, and it's surrounded by wheat fields. So there's like
beautiful
tall
cabin,
wheat.
By the way.
Yeah, yeah, beautiful cabin, but there's tall wheat surrounding it, and that's where everybody's hiding to make for a cover. So
to make
just,
cover, yes.
To make cover. So you see them pop out of the bushes and shoot, and then pop back in. So that
it's like a video
cool.
game.
Yeah.
One scene I will bring up that I liked a lot is the kid, Jay. Every night before he goes to bed, he'll start talking about different, like, fantasies of, like, the constellations, like the dragon and mm-hmm. the empress or whatever he's talking about. It like, fits with his character really well if he's a dreamer, you know? Mm-hmm. And he falls asleep, and one of his dreams is him as a baby.
Mm.
And Michael Fassbender and his girlfriend, or mm-hmm. his wannabe girlfriend, are in the cabin together that they eventually go to.
Mm-hmm.
And they have swaddled him and are, like, taking care of him. And I'm like, whoa, like, this is, like, because it represents how the female lead feels about Jay. It represents what's going to happen at the end with them getting together.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, ideally, this probably would be the best scenario for him, because he's relegated to the little brother.
Yeah.
To this woman. And if only he could just realize that, like, you love her, and that's good, but she does not love you back in the same way. So it's like, you have to move on. And if you really do love her, if you really did love her, you would go live your own life. And I just, God, oh, it's so good, Dan.
It is.
I haven't seen a Western or a film for a while, if at all, that talks about some of these themes. Because usually you watch a movie, right? You got your main character. He's the hero. He's going to get the girl. He's going to get everything that he wants.
Yeah.
And this movie's like, fuck that. Fuck that shit. That's not realistic. Just because you go on a big adventure for somebody doesn't mean they wanted you to go on that big adventure and save them. And I'm like, yes, that's awesome. This is so good. And that's why I think people should watch this movie. Do you want to wrap it up?
Again, you said it best. Like, if there were more to it, I think I would have enjoyed it a little bit more.
Uh-huh.
And I wouldn't have been as bored. But the boredom only took away from the movie because it was just a different state of mind that I had to be in. I'm like, oh, I could be doing something else. But there was still enough in there to make me want to get through it.
Okay. Yeah, again, I was not bored at all. This movie flew by. I just wanted more of it. I was just so engrossed in what was going on. But I thought everything was so fantastically done. I mean, out of control. Fuck you, A24. Go fuck yourself, A24, for making all these good movies.
Is this A24?
Yes, it is.
Are you serious?
Yes.
What the fuck?
Why do we keep doing... We should just change our podcast to the A24 podcast. Because all good indie films come from them. It's just ridiculous.
Oh, I can't fucking wait for The Lighthouse. That might be one that we have to, like, watch in theaters. Unless it comes
but
out
tomorrow. I love A24. They're amazing. But seriously, you're dominating the show in a way that is making me uncomfortable. I'm just kidding. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. If you want to reach out to us on Facebook, we are
Facebook.
At Indie Film Review on Facebook. If you want to hit us on Twitter, it's at Indie Film Pod on Twitter. Give us a shout out. I don't know. Say hello to us. Tell us what you thought of the show. You want to email us. Maybe you want to send us a film that you've made or that you're interested in us reviewing, as long as it's independent, theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. We're also hosted on Podbean at theindiefilmreview.podbean.com is where you can check out our archive and everything else.
We are on Instagram at indiefilmreviewpod.
Mm.
And please, please, please find us on Apple Podcasts and rate us a 5 stars. We have an extra 5-star review that gave us a 4.5 total, and somebody wrote us a really nice review, which was actually cool.
Oh, that's awesome. I like it when people actually write, even if you give us, like, a low score, like, write why or give reasons.
Yeah.
Or, hey, better yet, just message us the reasons instead of giving us a low score.
Yeah.
But no, like, yeah, I like it when people actually put in the
speak
time.
Speak their mind.
Yeah, they're not just like, it stinks. And I'm like, well, that's not constructive. I can't do anything with that. Because we want to make it good. But sometimes we just don't know how to make it good. But we want to. Please love us. We'll go on an odyssey for you. Can't you see that? Okay. So thank you so much. Did we mention the Necropodicon? I forget.
No, we did not. You sexy motherfuckers at the Necropodicon Network, you are not getting out of this. We are plugging the hell out of you.
Yeah, that's right. Get ready to be plugged. The Necropodicon is a collection of humans that also do podcasts, but they do it really good in a well, kind of great way. And I think you'll like all of the things they do because they have D&D's podcast. They have comedies podcast. They have horror D's podcast. They do movies. They do everything. They do everything you could possibly think of as long as it's the things I've just mentioned and more. They're wonderful. They're fantastic. I listen to so many of their podcasts. They're so great. They just
added a new one called Bad Rad Movies, which sounds like it's right up our alley.
He's good. I've listened to one of his that he did was Revenge of the Flying Guillotine, I think it's the movie.
I love that Flying Guillotine movie. Yeah.
And it's a kung fu film, and it's fucking awesome.
There's a fucking amazing scene in that where, like, they're having a tournament, and the yoga master can stretch his arms out, like, 50 feet. Oh, it's so fucking good. And that's the one where the guy jumps on top of the basket and walks around it.
But, yeah, he covers all of that, and it's great. It's a really good show. All right, guys, I love you, and Dan, you have the final word.
So I was visiting a prison, you know, just, you got to visit the inmates sometimes. And I witnessed a midget trying to escape outside of a window. Okay. It was a little condescending. Get it? Yeah.
Hey, this is Paul.
This is Beth.
I'm Emily.
And we're from On the Shoulder. The show you just listened to is part of the Necropodicon Network. That's Necropodicon.
Necropodicon!
If you're looking for some D&D adventures in a modern world with devils, davers, and...
dicks.
There sure are.
Day-twas.
Find us on the Necropodicon Network. www.necropodicon.com.
Smell you later.